is that it attracts quite a bit of people. Like, mm-hmm. I think there was like maybe 200 or 300 people, something like that.
Yeah, it was like 300 plus. Yeah, I think we're looking at maybe 400 this year.
Right on.
So it's continuing to grow, which is awesome. Yeah. It just is a reflection of, like, I think the need for community and also the growth of community, like in Surrey, in New Westminster, where you are now, in the Lower Mainland, people are looking for spaces to have that human connection and also to share stories and their experience. I think we all, like, we all have our kind of our own unique footsteps that we walked in, and yeah. and being able to say, like, oh, have you experienced that? Have you walked that path? Have mm-hmm. you been able just to talk about it mm-hmm. in a place where people understand and you don't have to explain yourself too much?
It's the explanation for me. That sometimes gets a lot. It gets draining sometimes, I think. Mm-hmm. And I think that's probably what a bit of a difference is of being, like, born and raised in a Toronto. I felt like, and in all fairness, guys, I am Jamaican Canadian, so back then the Jamaican influence was huge, right? So mm-hmm. I really didn't have to explain a lot of things. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I can't really say that from somebody, you know, who comes from even a different island, right? Like, I know they always get lumped in as being Jamaican type of thing, right? Yeah. But I didn't have to explain as much as moving west. And not so much even just BC, but even some folks know, like, I lived in Alberta for a long time. Mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. same kind of thing happened there, which is, you know, it's nice to be in spaces where you just kind of don't have to.
Yeah, 100%. And just something you said about, like, kind of lumping the islands together. Yeah. Like, that's one thing that I love about this event and working on it too, is, like, just learning about, it isn't just lumped together.
Hello.
There's such a, you know, spectrum yes. of blackness.
Yes.
And I think it's important that we all kind of lift each other up and say it isn't just a lump of islands, it isn't just one continent.
Absolutely.
It's like these are the subtle differences within that space.
Yeah.
And each of them play a part to the community.
Absolutely. Yeah, they do. Absolutely. Yeah. And you find out so many connections that we have amongst each other, even mm-hmm. down to food and things of that nature. Mm-hmm. Speaking of food, there is going to be food at the event.
Oh, yes.
Hey.
Yeah, there's going to be food. It was a hit last year. I mean, I'm going to say food and light refreshments.
Okay, right.
But we do want, we are going to have something to eat.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, we can't expect people to be dancing to soca and enjoying the entertainment on an empty stomach.
That's not going to happen. Happen, guys. So there's going to be a little something. I'm so excited about that. Yeah. And then I love the fact that you brought up soca, because soca is one of my favorite. Again, yes, I'm Jamaican Canadian, but I love me some soca music.
Oh,
that
yeah.
is my favorite. Yeah. And let's just talk a little bit about the artists and
sure.
entertainment that is going to be there.
Yeah, so we have the Sunshine's Rhythm Steel Band.
Hey!
Which is awesome.
Okay, yeah. So side note, guys. I've always wanted to learn how to play steel pan.
Well, they said that they're going to have a table, so before or after their performance, you can talk to them about steel drums.
Yeah. Listen, yeah. guys, you have no idea. That's awesome. That's awesome. And then we're also going to have soca experience.
So we got soca experience, the Sunshine Rhythm Steel Band, and then Mavule, which I believe is an 8-piece band or 6-piece. I can't remember right now, but all of the artists are going to be phenomenal.
Awesome.
And I'm really excited to, like, experience that art, you know, as from being outside of it as the artist last year to be able to be a witness this year.
I love that. Yeah. I love that. Now, another question I'm going to ask you is, I mentioned the award categories that mm-hmm. are happening, and so it is broken up into three. Mm-hmm. And, I love awards, and you know what I mean? Like, I've won one in the past in, like, in Calgary, in the Black community, and there was an award show similar to this mm-hmm. where they featured and highlighted Black folk doing things in the community, mm-hmm. right? Because a lot of times we don't always get noticed, mm-hmm. and I think that this becomes a great platform for mm-hmm. that, right? And so how for you, like, what are your thoughts on awards and stuff like that? Like, I know some people are like, they don't yeah. love it, but
I think awards have a place.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's all about your motive. Like,
yes.
if you're doing it for an award, then I think your motive is off.
Yeah.
But if your motive is true and you're recognized with an award, then I don't see anything,
agreed.
You know, wrong with it.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is nice for, you know, for somebody to say in a way, you know, just like when we were kids, oh, you did a good job, yeah, yeah, right? Yeah. I see what you're doing. And to be seen,
I was just gonna say, it's like, I see you.
Powerful, yeah. Yeah. And just in my own personal experience, like, I was writing poems since I was a kid. Mm-hmm. I didn't think I could be a poet because we didn't study anybody that looked like me in school.
Right.
And it wasn't until I saw, I was at a place called Cafe du Soleil in Commercial Drive. It's no longer there.
It's no longer
a poetry coffee house.
But
they used to have open mics, and I saw these poets from Toronto.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, they're doing publicly what I've always done privately. And that's what inspired me to pursue poetry.
Okay.
So I don't even know where I was going with that. But basically, it's been like, getting recognized as, or becoming the Poet Laureate felt like an award for about 20 years of writing without any being seen. I guess that's where I was going with that.
It's the being seen thing. I think I've done a lot of things, you know, privately, right?
Yeah.
You know, I find that you'll have like a bunch of people that know what you do.
Mm-hmm.
But to have like a larger group of people know what you do, I think is really nice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially if it's something you're passionate about.
100%, and the touch points that can come from that too.
Absolutely.
Right? Like, you just get a opportunity to connect with more people.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay, so when you look at the Black Brilliance in BC this year, what feels most exciting or meaningful to you, do you think? Like,
Well, for me, I guess it comes back to that sense of community. So, I mean, you shared like your background, Jamaican Canadian. Like, so my mom is African American from Seattle originally.
Okay.
But my grandma was like a big genial. She followed our family tree.
Okay.
My cousins picked up the work since she passed away, but like, the furthest we could trace our ancestry back was somebody was brought from Africa to Texas.
Wow.
And so I don't even know where I'm from, like, my Black ancestry is from.
Right, right.
And so the thing I'm always excited about is just being able to be in community as somebody who doesn't necessarily know what community I'm part of
in that
regard.
Right.
So that's what I'm most excited about, because I just feel like it, I'm like, wow, like, I just feel like a sense of connection.
Yeah, a sense of connection. I know. I totally understand that. And even though I have expressed that, yes, I'm Jamaican Canadian, I will say that it is still a different experience to be Canadian born, even with the Jamaican community sometimes. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, sometimes they're just like, oh, you're from foreign, like, you're not really,
you know what I mean?
Like, you're not really Jamaican. But I'm like, are you kidding me? My parents, like, Jamaicans are Jamaicans no matter where they go.
Yeah.
Okay? Like, they don't change. They'll find their food. They'll listen to the music. Like, they don't, like, take it off, so to speak. They very much live and breathe it, kind of thing. So I'm like, trust me, I have all the traditions. I know all the foods, the things, you know, the good, the bad, and the ugly type of thing,
right? 100%. So, yeah, just because I'm here, it doesn't mean I didn't get the rhythm.
Listen. I found that also being in spaces with other Black folk from other parts of the world and, you know, even just raised in parts of the country, there is still connections that we have amongst each other, even though, you know what I mean, we're all from different parts, right?
From all over in different places and experiences, and like, just, I never was, it's taken me a long time to kind of reconcile or try to work through my family tree being cut off at that point, you know, and like, hearing people where they're like, oh, I can trace my roots back to wherever, and you know, you almost feel like a part of you is missing, knowing that, and so being able to talk to other Black folks and be like, and who have had the same experience, like, oh, my family tree got cut off here, or I don't know where.
Yeah,
it's very it's like, it makes me emotional, because I never felt like I knew where I could plant my feet.
Right.
So to know that I'm not alone in that experience, 100%. It kind of goes back to the being seen. So
absolutely. And to add another layer to that is, like, there is also generation of young adults, like, I can even speak to my own sons that are young adults now, who are even more removed from sort of the Jamaican culture type of thing. So they're in spaces like events like this, forming connections and trying to find that connection, right? Because the experience of like where you were raised in Canada is so different, right? Yes. And they weren't raised in East, they were raised West. Yeah. So it is definitely a different. Yeah, it's a different experience for sure. So Black Brilliance in BC is happening during Black History Month, but the impact goes beyond 1 month. You know what 100%. I mean? Like, I'm so glad we're able to talk about it now, which gives listeners the opportunity to put it in their calendar and plan. You know, usually, like, the month gets so crazy type of thing.
Yeah.
But what do you hope people carry with them after the event is over?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, it's kind of, the things that are coming to mind are kind of like twofold or multiple fold in a way.
Yeah, yeah.
One of them is like, you know, you're an artist yourself, and that booking Black folks shouldn't just happen in February.
Hello.
It can happen in June. It can happen in November. And I think that's really important because, yeah, again, like it just keeps going back to being seen and like opportunities. Shouldn't just arise in a month.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And then the other thing I would hope people take away is, yeah, that, you know, Black folks and Black culture, it's not a monolith.
Yeah,
there's such a spectrum. And, you know, it's always interesting to wrestle with that of, like, that you aren't the stereotype that's portrayed in media. You're not the stereotype that's on TV.
Yeah.
You like classical music.
Maybe
you like Lord of the Rings. Maybe you like, you know, like it's just like your the pigment of your skin is not the ceiling.
Facts.
Right? And I think sometimes it's positioned like, I remember when I was in school, it would be like, oh, you can be a rapper, you could be a basketball player, you could be this. And so it felt like, or my perception was that, I felt like the way that I looked was the ceiling and I could be anything underneath that.
Yeah.
Whereas for other folks, it's like the way that they look is the floor and they could be anything off of it.
Absolutely.
So I hope people take that away, is that, like, you know, you can be anything. And you can be a poet, you can be a doctor, you can be an astronaut, whatever you
want
to be. Yeah.
Absolutely. I love it. I love it. Okay, so the next thing that I want to ask you is, like, how can people support this work right now? So nominations are closed, so that closed yesterday, but, like, you know, spreading the word, things of that nature, like how would they find information about this event?
So you can find a lot of the information on our website, which is dcrs.ca/Black Brilliance. Diversity Community Resource Society. You can find us on Instagram, Facebook. I think the biggest thing that people can do, especially now with registrations closed, is just attendance. I mean, like, there's nothing that keeps an event alive like bodies at the event. People showing up in support and in celebration not only helps us keep the event alive for you know, the years to come, but also I think leaves everybody with a stronger sense of community for the work they want to do personally in the world and in their community. Making those connections, like, maybe you become a steel drum player, right?
Exactly.
Like,
you never know
who you're going to meet, what you're going to learn.
Absolutely.
So that's the biggest support, is sharing it, but just attending.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. I want to piggyback on that, too, is that the fact that, like, I'm sure the networking that can take place can be incredible, because a lot of times we, you know, this happens in Toronto, but in other parts of the world, sometimes there are communities where you'll see, like, more Black people living there, right? Whereas, like, the West doesn't have that, right? So we don't necessarily have, like, a place that we're going to go and see a whole bunch of folks, right?
Yeah.
Or, you know, like, yes, sometimes you might see more folks in Surrey or, like, even in New West, but there isn't, like, in Toronto, for example, there's, like, you know, Eglinton Avenue West is deemed Little Jamaica now, right? And that is something that was always a very Jamaican place from, like, the 70s type of thing. So it's been a really long time.
Yeah.
And, you know, you think of the States and there's, like, so many areas that you can go in and know that it's predominantly whatever, but we don't necessarily have that here. So I can imagine the networking is probably incredible. Like, people just discover each other.
100%. Yeah. I mean, I can attest to that. Like, I networked, I'd spoken to Lenya at the event last year, and and she was able to introduce me to my manager, and then now, like, that was networking, right? I got the job by talking to some black folks.
Or the introduction,
at least.
Yes.
And I agree, like, and just the panelists we have, and all the people that are going to come to listen to them and to share their story just in conversation in the foyer, right? Like, the networking is incredible because you just have a wide range of people with interests, passions, experiences, and, you know, you can always learn something from somebody, right?
Absolutely.
So just having a conversation could be life-changing.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. All right, so now we are coming close to a close of our conversation today, but I do want to ask, like, what do you also have in store personally for yourself, personally, outside of this event, right? Since you're here and we're on the airwaves.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, come on.
So I do personal poems. I have a typewriter, and I kind of travel around the city and set up shop with a chair and a table, and I write on the spot poems for people. It slows down a little bit during the winter.
Clear. Understood.
Yeah. But personally, I mean, my thing is just to continue. I just to keep writing. I'm not the poet laureate for New West anymore. Yeah. That position is that has been passed on to some other poet, which is great, and I'm happy about that. But I'm still practicing my art. Seeing where that leads me. You know, I think art is evolving all of the time, and so I'm focused more on short stories right now.
Okay, right on.
Still writing music a little bit, working on lyrics. It's just, you know, living an artist life as best I can.
Absolutely. By the way, one of the things I was supposed to have prepped today, but I didn't get a chance, so I'll do it for another show. But you do have music.
I have...
A song.
I have one
song,
that has been put out into the world.
Yeah, I've heard other songs
that are not in the world. But yeah, no, it's funny. Like, I just had a dream. I was like, I want to learn how to play guitar. And then a couple years later, a song. And it was such a fun experience.
I love it.
But my passion now more would be to work with other musicians with their lyrics.
I'm
not a great guitar player. And I'm a little too old, I think, to master it. But I love...
You're never too old, guys. But I get it. I get it.
I do love... I love words. I love the musicality of words. Like, I don't know what it is, but sometimes you can just hear the, like, inner rhyme or, like, the syllable count that just comes naturally, and you feel like... The words carry their own music. And so I really want to work with other musicians and songwriters, but just focused on lyrics.
I love it. Yeah. Okay, right on. And how do people get connected with you? Do you, like, are you on the Insta?
Yeah, mostly through Instagram. Yeah, it's just my first and last name with an underscore between them.
Awesome.
And I send poems through the mail, too.
Oh.
So if people are looking to have a poem sent to somebody, I can do that. But to be honest, I also try to help younger writers. So,
okay, that's awesome.
I visited schools and done some, like, poetry workshops with students.
Right on.
And so I have some students that I've met who send me their poems, and I give them a bit of feedback. But just, I got to say, everybody's art is so unique.
Like,
you
got
to be careful with feedback, too.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Because it's all the eye and the ear of the beholder sometimes, right?
Yes.
Like, I mean, I find that can be not the easiest, easier to maybe be like, how do you get your craft out there, as opposed to, like, critiquing the craft,
yeah,
right?
100%. Yeah, and how you get it out there is you just keep doing it all the time. Because you never know when your opportunity is going to come, but if you stop, it will never arrive, right? So
agreed.
20 years later, you could make it, so.
Love it. Yeah. Okay, well, Elliot, thank you so much.
Thanks
again
for having me.
We were chatting about the Black Brilliance in BC event happening Friday, February 6th, 2026. That's Bob Marley's birthday, I believe, as well.
Cool.
Look at life.
There it is.
From 4 to 7 p.m. It is free to attend, and it's going to be at Surrey City Hall, which is 134501048 Avenue. Mm-hmm. And I will have information about like the location in the show notes.
Sure.
So that people can check that out. And then I'll even include like transit info and stuff like
that. Yes, close to SkyTrain.
Super close to SkyTrain. Yeah. One last thing before I let you go is that there are also exhibitor tables there too, right? Like so.
Yeah, there'll be exhibitors. Yeah. We're going to have some art displays from local artists. Can't let everything out of the bag right now. Keep some excitement. But yeah, it's going to be
a
beautiful event. Yeah.
I love it. Yeah. All right. Again, Elliot, thank you so much for stopping by.
Thanks for having me.
Oh my gosh, it was so great. Yeah. And I am going to be there, guys. So I am looking forward to doing like a recap.
Yeah.
Like the following week type of thing, right? And I'd hope to have you back on either this show or another one of the shows that I produce to just talk about things and you know what I mean?
Like, I'd love to.
Yeah,
yeah,
that would
I love
be awesome.
This is a great conversation.
Yay, love it, love it, love it. Again, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And I am going to get back to some music here. Bergonia, we're going to start off with Life of the Party.
Into the floor where we scrape the coffee table to the couch, then we eat dinner, get high, watch TV until you pass out, then you sweat through your shirt, love you so much it hurts, I scratch your head, usher you to bed, the wheels they keep on turning, even if I'm never home enough, you've heard the old cliche, radio plays even when it's off, like when my grandma died, still had to scrape the ice off my windshield just to drive, tears of force field in my eyes, we both quit smoking cigarettes, the last 6 months just flew by, I toured through Europe and I think I nearly lost my mind. Changed my romantic card, made friends with security guards, stood outside the bar, pocket full of marbles. And I still have some dreams that I cannot explain. It's hard to entertain the thoughts I knew. Surprise when all my friends go. Rent said worry would decline once I hit 35. I think it's just shifted what it get to be like. I wanna be alive.
Basically, to thank you for joining me today. I want to thank Elliot Slynn again for joining me. I'm so glad that you spent time with me this morning on Intravenous. And today we've reflected on 2025 a bit. We talked about what we're carrying into 2026. We listened to artist Begonia, and we learned about the Black Brilliance NBC event. Coming up next is Democracy Now, and the last song that we're going to listen to is called Kingsford Avenue.
Bye.